Today's shir is Masechet Ksuvos Daf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the last words of the Amar Rabbi Elazar. Our Gemara, as we began the Masechta, discussed the concern of a woman who is married with the assumption that she's a psula, that she's a virgin, that she is indeed a virgin, and how Chazal took great concern to make sure of that situation. There are actually two ways of being able to tell that the woman is indeed a psula. One is damin, if after bia the woman expressed dam, that is a clear indication that those are dam psulim and that the woman is a psula. However, as Tosfos and the Rishonim explain, there were and are women who typically do not have dam. Most notably, as we will discuss in tomorrow's shir, there's a mishpacha called mishpachas durakti, mishpacha that did not have, typically the women in their family did not have dam when they had their first bia, and therefore we cannot rely on that to prove that the woman is a psula. Also, as girls get older, Tosfos and Rishonim explain, as a girl gets above the age of begeres, the likelihood of her having dam decreases, and therefore dam is not the only way we could tell if she is a psula. There is another way of making that determination, and that is if oisa makom is tight during bia, that's a proof that she's a psula. Otherwise, there's a concern that she is not. And that is where our Gemara begins. On Rabbi Elazar says, Ha'omer, if a husband comes and says regarding his wife, who he married as a psula, and he says Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, that it was not tight, and therefore it's an indication that she is not a psula. The halach is neman la'asra alav. He has the right. His testimony is accepted, and she may not remain married to him. There is a real concern, as the Gemara will continue to analyze, that after she became an arusa, which halachically she's considered an aishas ish, this wife had relations with another man and therefore may not live with her husband. The question the Rishonim discuss is, what is the woman's response to his claim that she's not a psula? So Rishonim explained that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the woman doesn't respond or doesn't deny what the husband is saying. However, if the woman were to claim, yes, I was not a psula, however, that was because I was raped, and as we're going to learn, the wife of Yisrael who was violated may continue to live with her husband, then the halacha is that he would not be neman, he would not be trusted, and the wife could this husband and wife could continue to live together. The Rishonim also point out that, as we said in our introductory remarks, we're dealing with a situation where there is no dam, but that is not necessarily a proof that she is not a psula. And therefore, he has the claim of Pesach Pesuach, and he's Neman. What will be the halacha if, even though he walks in saying there was a Pesach Pesuach, but there was dam, can he still say that she's osur to him or not? So many Rishonim say, of course not. The fact that there was dam is the greatest proof that she was a psula, and therefore his claim has absolutely no validity. However, there are Rishonim that say even under those circumstances where there was dam, still the husband has a right to say Pesach Pesuach. I'm convinced that this woman was not a psula, and therefore I may not remain together with her. Why? What is the basis how the husband can make this claim and we accept the claim? Because as the Gemara teaches us, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha De Surah, The husband has a right, everybody has a right to say something is prohibited. And therefore he has the right to say, I'm saying that my wife had an adulterous relationship and I may not be married to her. What is the basis for our accepting this concept of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura? So we find that the Achroidim discussed this at great length. Some Achroinim, the Ktsois quotes a Mari Basson who says that it works the same concept as a neder. A neder means that somebody has the right to say that even though this is permitted, I'm making a neder that it should be also to me. So too, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura, a person therefore has a right to say that this woman I may not live with. The Tzais doesn't accept that line of reasoning, and the Tzais follows a different pshat. The Tzais's pshat is that it's nemonis. Just like we find a concept in halacha of erechad nembi surin, we find a concept of hadas baldin kamei edem dami, so too did the Torah give a person who's saying testimony regarding something that directly affects him, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura, the nemonis to be believed. What are some nafkaminas between these two approaches? One nafkamina will be where a person did not recognize the implication of what he's saying. If we say that it's nemonis, a person has nemonis, the Torah gave the person nemonis to say this, so it doesn't make a difference if he recognizes what his words will cause. He said a testimony, or whatever happens, happens. However, if it's based on the lumdus of a neder, certainly if someone makes a neder without recognizing what his neder will cause, it's not an effective neder. Here too, it will not be considered an effective Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura. Another nafkamina I saw is what will happen in a case, not necessarily the case we're discussing, where two Adam dispute what he's saying. If it's a nether, it makes no difference if people are disputing what he's saying or not. If it's a nether, it makes no difference. He has the right to make a nether, and it's effective. However, if it's because of nemonis, certainly if there are two Adam, these two Adam have more nemonis than he does, and he would not be believed, and there would not be a situation Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura. Another nafkamina between the two pshatim is, does Beis Din force this couple to get divorced? If it's because of a neder, then Beis Din doesn't get involved. It's a person's personal neder, he has to take care of his own nedarim. But if it's nemonis, so just like Adam coming in, and if Adam were to come in and say that somebody was prohibited to their wife, certainly the halacha is that that wife cannot remain with her husband. Similarly, if the Torah gave this husband, because of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Desura, nemonis, then Beis Din has to force this couple to separate. We have now here also a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Taisus. Rashi says, Nemelo Osrolov, he's believed, and he could force the wife to get divorced and not remain together with him because he's accusing her of having had this adulterous affair. But what about the ksuba, that a husband has to give his wife? So according to Rashi, Rabbi Lozer is not addressing that, and that he has no right to make her lose. He would still have to, even if he's divorcing her, he would have to pay her ksuba. Taisra disagrees with Rashi. Taisra says that, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on Amud Beis, Shmuel says the nemel afsida ksubasa, the husband has a right to make her lose the ksuba. And Taisra says there really is no machloikis between Rabbi Lozer and Shmuel regarding this subject. Rabbi Lozer also agrees that based on what he's saying, she loses her ksuba. The Mefarshim explain, why doesn't Rashi agree with Taisus? Why does Rashi say Rabbi Lozer disagrees with Shmuel? So they say two pshatim. One pshat is because Rashi follows the words of Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer uses the words, Neman la'osra alof. If, according to Rabbi Elazar, the namonis of the husband also affects his ability that she should lose her ksuba, so the Mishnah should have just, the Gemara should have just used the words neman, he's trusted. The fact that the Gemara used the words la'osra alof seemed to indicate that it's only as far as them being able to remain together, husband and wife, that's where he's to be believed, not regarding the ksuba. Another pshat, why Rashi doesn't agree with Tosfos, is as we're going to soon learn in the Gemara. Our Gemara explains that our Rebbe Elazar is even referring to a situation of a couple who the husband does not really have experience in having relations with women, and therefore we aren't so quick to accept what he says. So the Gemara is teaching us that even though as far as his own personal marital status, we do trust him, and he doesn't remain with her as a husband and wife, given that he's inexperienced, we will not allow such a person to make his wife lose the ksuba. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, even if we accept the concept of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha De Surah, isn't this a situation of a Sfek Sfeka, a double doubt, and therefore he should be mutter to remain with her? What is the Sfek Sfeka? As we know, in those days, there was first Erisin, where, according to the halacha, a woman who's mureses, she's an Eishes Ish to the man, but there was Nesuin only a year later, typically. If the woman had an adulterous relationship after she was an Arusa, there the halacha is that she may not live with her husband. But if a woman had a relationship with a man prior to being a Rusa, that doesn't prohibit her from living with her husband. So says the Gemara, here we have a double doubt. Number one, Safek Tachtav, Safek Ein Tachtav. We don't know when she had this relationship. Was it when she already was an Arusa? Or was it prior to her being an Arusa? And Im Tim Tzoloim V'Tachtav, and even if we'll say that this happened while they were, she was an Arusa, perhaps Safek Oynes, Safek Barotzen. Perhaps she was violated. And the halacha is that the wife of Yisrael who was raped may continue living with her husband. So even if we're accepting his claim that Pesach, Pesuach, Mitzasi, ask the Gemara, why should she be also to him? Sfek Sfeka points that they should be allowed to continue living together. And the Mefarshim discuss why are we lenient in a situation of a Sfek Sfeka. Some Mefarshim, the Pnei Yeshua, seems to explain this way. We notice the Machloikas Rambam and Rajba. The Halacha B'Kol HaTorah Kula is Sofik Doraisa L'Chumra. But this din that by a Sofik Doraisa we go L'Chumra, is that a din Midoraisa or is that a din Midrabbonim? So the Rambam holds that's only with Rabbonim. So therefore, when we have the first Sofik, even if it's a Sofik Deraisa, Sofik Tachtov, Sofik Ein Tachtov, and we're going to be Machmer, because Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra, that we're being Machmer only because the Rabbonim told us to be Machmer. So now we have a Rabbonim situation. So now when we have the second Sofik, it's a situation of a Sofik Rabbonim, where there the rule is Sofik Rabbonim L'Kula. That's how the Pnei Yeshua explains according to the Rambam. The Rajba explains it more on a statistical, mathematical basis. He explains that when you have a double doubt, so statistically it's pointing that probably nothing wrong happened here, and since nothing wrong happened, therefore we can be makel and not be concerned. So again, ask the Gemara, even we're accepting his claim that she's not a psula, it's still a situation of sex faker, so why is she also to her husband? Answers the Gemara, Letzricha Beishas Kayin. We're referring to a situation where she was married to a Kayin. Where there the halacha is that if somebody's married to a Kayin, even if she was violated, she may not go back to her husband. So we only have one suffix. Was this Did she lose her, did she have a relationship before she was an Arusa or after she was an Arusa? It's only one suffix, that's why we have to be Machmer. And even though Tosfos asks, why can't we rely on the Chazaka that she's a woman that's allowed to be married to a Kohen, says Tosfos, since we have on the other hand a real issue in front of her, the Chazaka has a hole driven into it, the fact that this woman who was supposed to be found as a psula was not a psula, we cannot rely on the Cheskas Kashrus Lakuna. Vibai Seiman, another way of explaining the situation Rabbi Elazar is referring to, is the situation is that she's married Basis Yisrael. However, the situation is one, Kigoyin the Kiva Ba'avu Kedushin Chusa Ba'ashlash Shana V'yoyim Echad. The father accepted the Kedushin for this girl when she was less than 3 years old. So the halacha is, as we're going to learn, that if a girl is under 3 years old and she has relations with a man, besuleha chayzrin, her virginity returns. So if this girl became an arusa when she was less than 3 years old, so it must be, and we see now that she's not an besula, it must be that she had relations after she was an arusa. So the first suffix of suffix tachtov, a suffix not tachtov, is no longer a suffix. There's only one suffix. Was it b'oinis or was it b'rotzen? And by one suffix, we have to be machmer. But as the Rishonim go on to explain, interestingly enough, the situation must have, that the chuppah for this girl must have taken place when she was an adult. Because if the chuppah took place while she was a ktana, she still would be mutter. Because the halacha is that even if she willingly had relations with a man, even though she's an arusa, the halacha is pitui ktana oinasi, that any relation that a child, that a girl who's on the bas mitzvah enters, by definition, is an oinas, and therefore she would be mutter anyway, was certainly an oinas. So the Rishonim explained that the case that we're discussing is must be a situation where the erusin was before she was 3 years old, and the nesuin took place after she was 12 years old, and that's why there's only one suffix, was it ba'oinis or beratzin, but it certainly took place, it was betachtov. However, it says, as Tosfos, if that is the situation that we had all these years in between, why don't we have again say it's a svek sveka? We should say it's a suffix. Was the relationship that the woman had ba'oinis beratzin? And even if we'll say it was beratzin, maybe it took place during those many years from when she was 3 years old to 12 years old. That the halacha is that bia pitui ktana oinasi is always considered a situation of oinis. Says Tosfos that cannot be considered an oinis because that cannot be considered svek sveka, because both svekas evolve around the subject of being an oinus, and a svek sveka by definition, says Tosfos, has to be a situation where both svekas have different halakha considerations. Since here both svekas evolve around the subject, was it oinus or rotzen, that's not considered a svek sveka. As Tosfos, a different question. Why don't we again apply Cheskas Heter that say that the woman had a chazaka that she's allowed to be married to her husband and follow that chazaka? So Tosfos says we cannot rely on this chazaka, because if indeed what happened was that she was raped, when a girl, at least in those times, Rachman al Tzlan, was raped, it was well known, and the fact that we're not aware that this girl was raped, we can't rely on a cheskas heter. Ask Tosfos, if we're saying that every time a girl is raped, we're aware of it, and the fact that we're not aware of it proves, is an indication that there was no rape, so then how could we rely on the svek sveka? The svek sveka, we said, in the normal situation was the relationship that she had take place while they were married, or before, and even if it was while they were married, perhaps it was b'oinis.
But ask Taisus, now we're saying that if it was Ba'oinus, we would have known about it. And here we don't know about it. Isn't that a proof that it wasn't Ba'oinus? So Taisus says a very important word. Taisus says, we have to look at the circumstances. In a situation where we only have one suffix, and we want to rely on a chazaka, there, the fact that we're not aware of the rape hurts and destroys that chazaka. But in a situation where we have a svek sveka, as we said earlier, every svek sveka is something that we could rely on, and that strongly points that there is no reason to concern. There, even though there is a roiv, that most women who are raped, we're aware of it, that will not be a factor to undo the svek sveka. Taisus goes on to explain, perhaps she was a mukas eitz, perhaps she was hurt in that area, and that's why she lost the psulim, and why can't we use that as a reason to allow the couple to remain together? So Taisus says there's nothing embarrassing about a woman being a mukas eitz. And the fact that the woman, when her husband comes in and says, Pesach Pesuach, that this woman is not a Besula, does not respond, Mukas Eitzani, that I had this wound which caused me to lose the Besulim, is a proof that she was not a Mukas Eitz. Says the Gemara, Mike Mashmalon, what is the basis of what Rebbe Elazar is saying? So as we explained earlier, the basis of Rebbe Elazar's halacha was shavya nasha chaticha di sura. Says the Gemara, that is something that Tanina, that we're well aware of already from another Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says that ha'oimel ishi kadashticha, if one comes and says to a woman, you are my wife, v'hi ha'mas, but she says, like kadashtatni, we never became husband and wife. So the halacha is himutas b'kroivov, if he can't bring Adam to prove that they're indeed married, she could marry any of his relatives, even relatives of a husband, that one is not allowed to marry a husband's relatives. However, who has to be clever to say he can't marry her relatives because Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura. So we already learned this concept of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura. What's Rebbe Elazar adding? Answers the Gemara. Madatema Hosun Devadi Kimlei. Where do we accept the concept of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura? When a man walks in and says, I know you're my wife, I was mekadesh you in front of Adam. So that's something that anybody could say clearly and be trusted, and that's why we say shavya nafshe chaticha desura. Aval hecham, aval hocha, mekum hu delekamle. Perhaps here we should be concerned that this person is making an error. He doesn't know what a pesach pesuach is or isn't, and therefore he should not be trusted. Kamash malam, that even under these circumstances we apply the concept of shavya nafshe chaticha desura. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rebbe Elazar Hachi, did Rebbe Elazar really say this halacha, that a person could come in and say Pesach Pesuach Betzasi, and based on that testimony, his wife will no longer be allowed to marry, live with him? Vamar Rebbe Elazar, Eina Isha Neseres Al Bala, a woman does not become prohibited to live with her husband, El Al Iske Kina Vestira, only if the husband warned her in front of Adam, you may not seclude yourself with that man, and stira, the woman was then seen in seclusion with that man. Any other circumstances will not prohibit her. Ukamash shaya, like there was a story by David and Bathsheba. We know that Bathsheba was married to Uriah Achita, and Uriah Achita went off to battle, and David had relations with Bathsheba, and the Gemara is saying that is the example where a husband is also to the wife. Ask the Gemara, Vitisbra, what you're saying, does what you're saying make sense? Maisha Shahaya, Bikina Vestira Hava. The Gemara stops to analyze what Rebbe Elazar asks. Number one, did David and Melech have was the Kini Vestira between David and Bathsheba that the Gemara, that Rebbe Elazar is using Kini Vestira as a proof? Void, Miyasrua, where do we find that David was Osir to Bathsheba? He wasn't Osir. On the contrary, they ultimately got married and they had the son Shlomo HaMelech. So how is Rebbe Elazar saying that that is the model of a situation where a husband may not go back to the wife? So Mefarshim discuss a very fundamental question. Why will be that? The Gemara seems to be saying here that only in a situation where the husband did kini vestira, made a husband not, and then the wife violated that, made a husband and wife not be together. Why will be the halacha if a husband knows for sure, no edim, no kini vestira, but knows for sure, saw it himself, his wife having an adulterous relationship? Could he live with his wife? So some Rishonim seem to say that would be, the husband would be allowed to live with the wife. Because the Torah gave very specific rules when they may remain together and when they may not remain together. And even though he knows for sure that his wife had this adulterous relationship, he may remain together with her. Other Rishonim explain that certainly the husband cannot remain together with a wife who he knows for sure had an adulterous relationship. The comment Rabbi Elazar is making is Rabbi Elazar is referring to a situation where the husband doesn't know for sure that the wife had an adulterous relationship. He only has a reason to believe that such occurred. And the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Elazar made a statement that only in a situation of kini vestira will the husband not be allowed to live with the wife, even though he's not 100% sure, he doesn't know for certain if there was an adulterous relationship. There are no other circumstances, according to Rabbi Elazar, where that husband and wife may not remain together. Yet our Gemara has Rabbi Elazar saying that under the situation where the husband came and said Pesach Pesuach, he would be prohibited to remain with his wife. How do we reconcile these two statements? Holy Kasha says, this is not a question. The question that we asked from David is like, a woman doesn't become also to husband. What's the proof that it's only kini vestira that assers a wife to the husband? The Maisha Shahoya of David and Bathsheba. Since the lawyer have a kini vestira, since there was no kini vestira in that episode, that's why lo yitzra. That's a proof that only through kini vestira do the husband and wife become asur, not through any other situations. Ask the Gemara, come up in kasha. So now we understand the statement Rabbi Elazar made. But now we have a stira. Here Rabbi Elazar says that only kini vestira in, that's the only circumstance that the wife becomes prohibited to the husband. But not Pes Besuach Loi. If the husband comes in and says Pes Besuach, that would not be a situation where the wife becomes prohibited to the husband. Ask the Gemara, L'tameich, is that the way to really understand what Rabbi Elazar says? Kini Vestira in, only through Kini Vestira does the wife become prohibited to the husband? Edim Loi. And what will be if Adam come in and say that his wife had an adulterous relationship? She won't become Asr? Certainly she'll become Asr. El Hachikama. The way to understand Rabbi Elazar's statement is as follows. Ein ish neseres al ba'al beit echad. A woman does not become Asr to a husband through one aid. Ela b'shnei Adam. We need two witnesses to come and say testimony that there was an adulterous relationship. However, if there was a warning and there was seclusion between this man that the husband warned his wife not to seclude herself with, there halacha is afilu be'erecho nami. Even if one aid, there are two aidim that she was warned, and then she secluded herself with that man whom she was warned not to seclude herself with, there, even though there's only an aid echad who says that she had an adulterous relationship, he will be believed. Because the pasuk says, regarding the parasha of Asoita, the aid ain't bov hilo nitpasa. Since the Torah says there was no aid, what do we see from here? If there was an aid, he would be usher. B'pesa b'suach, however, continues the Gemara in explaining Rabbi Elazar's opinion, when a husband comes and makes this statement, a Pesach Besuach, it has the same validity ki shnei edim dami, just like it has like two edim, and therefore he's also to be with that wife. If so, asked the Gemara, v'chitei m'maisa shahoy b'nei malo yisroa, if under those circumstances the husband and wife cannot remain together, why was David HaMelech ultimately allowed to marry Bathsheba? And as Mepharshim explained, Bathsheba should have been usur to live with her husband, because isn't this the same as a situation as a Pesach Pesuach? And therefore, Bathsheba should not allow to be live with Uriah. And the halacha is, wherever the woman cannot live with her husband, she cannot live with the boyel. So therefore, Bathsheba should not have ever been allowed to marry David. Answers the Gemara, there was a situation of Oynes Hava. It was a situation where Bathsheba was violated. And there are two ways the Rishonim, the two basic ways the Rishonim explain this. One explanation is that Bathsheba really didn't have a choice. It was David HaMelech, the king, so it was considered a situation of rape. And since it was a situation of rape, she doesn't become usur to her husband, because the halacha is, as we said earlier, that if a wife of Yisrael is raped, she's allowed to live with her husband. Another way the Rishonim explained was that Bathsheba at that time was still a ketana, and as we said earlier in our shir, pitui ketana oynasi, that when a girl, any relation that a girl enters when she's a ketana, by definition is an oynas, and therefore she was allowed to be married to Uriah. But it goes even a step further. Now what we see is that even though David HaMelech, to him it was an aveira, at least the way the Gemara is explaining now, the way we understand it, since if she's not usur to her husband, if that marriage terminates, she can live with the person she had the adulterous relationship with, which is a very bechidish. And in fact, some Rishonim explain that's why the Gemara gives an ibayis aima. The Gemara gives another teretz, because the Gemara finds it difficult to understand how a man who had an adulterous relationship with a woman, even though if technically that woman may still be allowed to remain with her husband, that if that husband divorces his wife or dies, she should go back to the adulterer. And therefore the Gemara says, Ki od amr b'shmu b'anachmeni amr b'yoynesen, kol ha-yoytzel mechemes beis David, any soldier in the army of David, get krisis kaisiv lishtoi, would write a get to his wife, the ksiv, as the pasuk says, Yishai sent David to see his brothers during the time of Shaul, when they were having a war with the Pelishtim. And the pasuk says, Vesachecha tifkad, you should look into the well-being of your brothers. Vesarubosom teikach, take along the rubosom. My vesarubosom teikach, what does it mean you should take along the rubosom? Tanner of Yosef, Dvorim hamuravim beinola beino, take along something that affects the band between the husband and wife. Take along the get that the brother should have written, because anybody who went out to war wrote this get. Now we have a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, in exactly how this get worked. Rashi says that the get was written on the day that the soldier went out to war, but the get was written in the following manner. It said that the get should be effective retroactively if the soldier dies and he didn't want his wife to come back to Yibam, and it should be retroactive effective from the day it was written. Tosfos takes exception with that pshat, because if that's what happened, says Tosfos, then when David HaMelech had relations with Bathsheba, even though Uriah Chiti had written this get wasn't yet effective. The war wasn't over. He was still alive. So how could David HaMelech have relations? Therefore, Tosfos learns that what happened was that the get was written, it was done obviously discreetly, the day that the husband went out to war, he wrote a get that was completely effective. Therefore, when David had relations with Uriah, David had relations with Bathsheba, she was no longer married to Uriah Achiti, and that's why they were allowed, and that's why David HaMelech did not do anything wrong, and it wasn't a situation of adultery. The Tosfos Pshat, Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat, seems to be a lot simpler. Why doesn't Rashi agree? Why does Rashi say that it was written in this interesting technical manner of it being retroactive? So the Mepharshim explain, because two reasons. Number one, if that's the case, then why did David HaMelech do wrong? We know that David HaMelech is faulted for having relations with Bathsheba, again, as much as we can understand. But if they were completely divorced, as Tosfos suggests, why does the Pasuk, why do we have an issue with David HaMelech? So for that, the Rishonim who followed Tosfos' opinion says, because even though there was a full-fledged get written, it was done, as we said, in a discreet manner. They really weren't considered divorced. It was only done because there was a concern that the husband would die at war and she shouldn't fall to Yibum, or she shouldn't become an Aguna. But they really were considered married, and that's why it was inappropriate for David to have relations with Bathsheba. But then there's another problem with Tosfos' pshat. Because as the story in Nach goes, Bathsheba became pregnant from the relationship she had with David. And David HaMelech wanted to cover it up, so when Uriah came home, he told Uriah to have relations with Bathsheba. But according to Rashi, that the get wasn't yet effective, we could understand why David HaMelech was instructed Uriah to do that. But according to Tosfos, that they were really considered divorced, how could David HaMelech instruct Uriah to do that? At the end, Uriah anyway did not have those relations because he said he was a soldier at war and it was a time of war and did not want to conduct relations under those circumstances. But now the question is, according to Rashi, that the get is only effective retroactively, how did David HaMelech know at that time when he had relations with Bathsheba that Uriah would ultimately die and make the get effective, and therefore he would not be having relations with an Eishes Ish? Says the Beis Yaakov that since David HaMelech was the king and he positioned all the soldiers, he knew that he could position, as ultimately is what happened, Uriah in a place that he would certainly die, and he had no shaila that the get would be effective. In fact, I saw from the Shaila of Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer that such a shaila came to him. There was a soldier in the Israeli army who was a member of a very secret unit who was going on a mission, a very dangerous mission, and he was concerned if he would come back, or if he wouldn't come back, would he ever be found? And he was concerned for the welfare of his wife. So he came to Tzitz Eliezer and asked that he can't tell his wife what's happening, but he would like to write such a get on the Chas V'Shalom outside chance that he will not come back, that the get should be effective retroactively from a year after he leaves. If he doesn't return a year after he leaves on the mission, it should be effective retroactively. And the Tzitz Eliezer says that such a get was written by the Beis Din. But then there's a question. He wasn't immediately sent out on the mission. And in the duration from when the get was written until when he was sent out on the mission, he was at home and he had relations with his wife. Would that undo would that nullify the get that he had asked to be written? So the Tzitz Eliezer says, since when he wrote the get, he made it very clear that he wants to get the clock, so to speak, to start ticking only when he's sent out on the mission. The fact that he had relations in between does not nullify what he did, and the get would be an effective get. However, the Tzitz Eliezer, Baruch Hashem, says there was a happy ending to the story. He did go out on the secret, dangerous mission, but came back safely and continued living with his wife. There's a very interesting vort from the Kotzker. Why, says the Kotzker, that all the soldiers that went out to war write this get? Says the Kotzker, for a soldier to be successful, he has to be completely focused on his mission. And therefore, says the Kotzker, this soldier who went out to war, the soldiers who went out to war, did not want to have on their minds their wives, their families who are at home. So they wrote a get, and now they're completely focused on the mission of going to Melchama. Amar Abaya. So Abaya brings proof, support to what Rebbe Elazar said. Afanan Namitanina. what we learned in our Mishnah seems to prove what Rabbi Eliezer says, that somebody says a Pesach Pesuch is believed. Because it says in our Mishnah, Pesula Nesas L'Yom Revi'i. The Chazal established that all Pesulim should get married on Wednesday. L'Yom Revi'i, in strictly Wednesday, not L'Yom Chamishi. And like the sheet explains, why is the Gemara pointing out Wednesday, not Thursday? Because one Pshat, he says, because we would think perhaps a wedding should take place Thursday night. Friday is the day, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, that the Bracha La'odom of Pur Revu was said. Tells us the Mishnah, don't make a wedding on Thursday. Or, as the Shita also goes on to explain, since, as we know from the Mishnah, Beis Din was only in session Monday and Thursdays, and therefore, if the wedding will take place on Thursday, there's a very long duration from when the wedding takes place till when Beis Din is back in session, and we don't want that there should be such an opportunity. L'yom Revi in L'yom Chamesh Yiloi, Wednesday, not Thursday, my Tama, Mishum Akruri Data. We're concerned that if the wedding takes place on Thursday, and from Thursday to Monday there's such a long duration, even if the husband discovered that his wife is not a virgin, he'll calm down. He'll say she's a good wife, even though she's not a virgin. But she may be somebody who had an adulterous relationship, an Ashes Ish who's not allowed to be married to her husband. And we don't want that to happen. That's why we want the wedding to take place on Wednesday and come to Beis Din on Thursday and say what you saw. Now, Lamai, why are we so concerned? Ilam Esel Ksuba, if the concern is that he may end up giving her a Ksuba that goes to the Ksuba that belongs to Besula when she's really not deserving of it, says the Gemara Nesiv Lo. So we'll give her the Ksuba. It's only money. Ella, Lo Yisr Lov. It must be that we're referring to a situation that she's also to him. But the katan taina. And what kind of taina does he have? My love, the katan taina is Pesach Pesuach. That he found that she's not a virgin because of Pesach Pesuach. Because the Rishonim explain, if he found that she didn't have dam in a place where he expected her to have dam, that would be such a terrible situation that there is no concern that he would cool off. It must be that the only problem that he found with her is dam is not a consideration. She's a Begeres, she's from Mishpachas Durkati, so he didn't expect dam. The only problem he found with her is Pesach Pesuach. Since that's not such a terrible thing, we have a concern that he's going to cool down when he's not supposed to, because he really is also to be married to her, and that's why we want the wedding Wednesday. So we see the Pesach Pesuach is a valid taina. So it's more loy, the katan taina stomach. The concern is that dam was expected and it wasn't found. We just said that under those circumstances he won't cool down. Says the Gemara, under those circumstances also, if there's a duration of Thursday to Monday until he can come to Beis Din, even though he found and he knows for certain that she's not a psula because there was no dam, we're concerned that he's going to cool down because he sees that she's a fine woman. And really, he's not allowed to be living with her. She's an Eishes Ish, that was Mizana. That's why we want the wedding on Wednesday. But we have no proof regarding is he or is he not believed when he says Pesach Pesuach. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Ha'im Pesach Pesuach Mitzasli, as we quoted Shmuel's opinion at the beginning of the year, he's trusted, and he's even trusted Lafsida Ksubasa to make a loose Ksuba. Amar Yosef, says Rav Yosef, my Kamashmon, what's Shmuel teaching us? Tanina, it's really a Mishnah. Because the Mishnah teaches us, Ha'ichel Eitzel Chamov, Bi Yehuda Shalai Be'edom, in Yehuda, if a Chas and a Kala were together, without witnesses, any Yochel Eitzel Tainas Pesulim. He cannot come and say, my wife is not a Pesula. Neshem is Yachrima, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the custom in Yehuda was that Chas and a Kala would remain together in Yichud, as the Mefarshim explained, because they wanted them to have to develop a familiarity amongst themselves, so that when ultimately they have Nesu'in, they should be comfortable with each other. And therefore, since he is with her B'yichud, he cannot claim when she's not a psula, because we say that he had relations with her. So what do we see? B'yehuda hu d'loy matzitan. It's only in Yehuda can make such a claim. Habagalu matzitan. In Galus, such a claim can be made. Now the question is, Lamai, What is the point of the claim? Ila osra lov, if the point of the claim is that she should be prohibited to him, so the question is, Behuda mai loy? Why is he not trusted in Yehuda? As we just said at the beginning of the shir, we have a concept of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Yisura, and because of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Yisura, a man could always say that his wife is prohibited to him. Elalaf, it must be a situation, Lav Sidik Subasa, that the point of his claim is not to say that she may not live with him. That he always has the right to do. The issue is the driver of a ksuba. And the katan taina, because he's saying a taina. What is the taina? My love, the katan taina is pesa pesuach. He's claiming that it was a tesa pesuach, and that's why, at least in Golol, where there is no reason to suspect that he had relations with her beforehand, we believe him. So we see that it's obvious that a husband has a right to make such a taina. And like we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, the reason the husband has the right to make this taina and even make her lose the ksuba, because ein adam tarek besuda lafsida, the chassam made the wedding. He wouldn't have done it if he didn't like her, and now it must be true what he's saying. So we see that as a right to make that taina. Says the gemara, loy, the katan taina stami. Our mishnah is referring to a case where he makes a claim that there was no blood. Since that is a taina that's going to be accepted in Golol. However, the taina, a pesach pesuach, is not necessarily going to be believed anywhere, even in Golol.